Therapy Notes is the highest rated EHR, practice management, and billing software for mental health professionals. Its all-in-one platform is designed to streamline all aspects of your practice, from connecting with clients via secure messages to scheduling, notes, billing, and more. You can trust Therapy Notes has you covered. And one of the best parts? 24/7 customer service with a live person. It's beyond easy to get help over the phone or by email at any time of day from their knowledgeable and friendly representatives. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today. Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 484.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and this week we are again discussing the SSP, Safe and Sound Protocol, and the book, Safe and Sound, A Polyvagal Approach for Connection, Change, and Healing. There's so much in this book, including Chapter 17, which was written by Paula Scataloni, who's this week's guest. Paula is my colleague, teacher, and friend, and I experienced SSP through working with her. It was very profound for me. I've done it twice, and now I'm certified in offering the method as well. If you are someone who is considering offering SSP, you're going to want to hear this conversation with Paula, where she talks about the importance of the presence in the provider that is a really significant aspect of what allows the change to happen for the person who's receiving the SSP. Paula is a clinical social worker, a sound healer, an SSP provider, and she's also a somatic experiencing practitioner and trained in many, many other methods. She's a very wise woman. And so she is talking about the SSP, both related to the science and the practice of delivering it as a practitioner, and the somatic and relational aspects of the process. So this is a really important part of the considerations when deciding if you want to offer SSP. Also want to let you know, if you are someone who's interested in getting certified to deliver the SSP, there's a link in the show notes to save you a significant amount on the training. And there's also a free trauma toolkit that you can download at the link that was offered in partnership with Unite. So let's dive right into my conversation with Paula Scataloni. And look in the show notes for a link to our previous conversation about SSP, which was, I think, between the first and second times I did it. We recorded that back in 2024. So that is more spiritual and metaphysical, talking about the way that she offers SSP in her groups. So you won't want to miss this one. Let's dive in. Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm so happy to be speaking again with my colleague, teacher, and friend, Paula Scataloni. Paula, thank you so much for coming back to Therapy Chat today.
Thank you, Laura. It's so great to be here. I'm always thrilled to sit and chat with you. I could do this for hours, so I appreciate it.
We have spent so many hours together at this point, and I love that, both on the podcast and in your groups and one-on-one. And I'm really grateful for what you're doing in the world. I'm so glad that we've connected the way we have. So today we're here to talk about something that we talked about last year on this podcast, but now we're getting, I guess you could say, a little bit more into the technical applications and how people can use and are using Safe and Sound Protocol. This new book, Safe and Sound, has just come out, and you have contributed a chapter to it that I know is very valuable. You've actually been you've put a lot of time and intention into this development of the Safe and Sound Protocol as it is being delivered now. So I can't wait to just get into how you work with it and how you see it. But before we do any of that, will you just give our audience, for those who aren't familiar with you, a little bit more information about who you are and what you do?
Make it brief. So I'm a psychotherapist by trade, and predominantly came through a little unique. I think I've always been on the cutting edge. I mentored with Anita Johnston, who at the time in Hawaii, you know, was bringing in the idea of metaphor and working with metaphor to understand women's relationship with food. That had not ever been done in the way that she was doing it. So I've come through some people that are really visionaries and pioneers. Later on, I trained with Peter Levine in somatic experiencing. He's a visionary as well. And I had this deep understanding that the body was going to be the key at some point. And we were, again, on the cutting edge. And at a time where the word somatic wasn't even used. So it was, what does that word mean? We had to explain it to people. Now we don't have to do that so much. And then met Rachel Lewis and began training in embodied recovery. Her training was in body mind centering and sensory motor psychotherapy. And so this weaving began of all these different modalities. And at some point in there, around 2017, when I was an SEP, I began to use the Safe and Sound Protocol. So it's been there for a fair amount of time while all these other weavings were taking place. And I just kept circling back to it, even after training with Kathy Kane and Steve Terrell and looking at the early attachment system and using touch. Every training I was getting, I was weaving into this product. At the time, it was a product. And how is this product affecting people? How is sound? And eventually, I began my own hypothesis of it and my own conceptualization of what was happening, and have been leading with that since around, I started running groups around 2020, then participated in the writing of the Somatic Experiencing SSP manual. And from there, have just become a trainer and mentor for people interested in this integrative perspective in using sound.
So I have talked about this with you on the podcast before, but I feel like it's kind of important to me for somehow to name that when I met you through Embodied Recovery, which you and Rachel co-created, and now Rachel owns, right? And I interviewed you both a couple times, maybe a few times, and then I went to the Level One training with both of you, and there you were talking about Steve Terrell and Kathy Kane's work, and you were talking about SSP then. And I had purchased the training at the time, and it was beginning to be talked about with trauma survivors, but it was really when I first learned about it. And so this was around 2018, 2019. When I first learned about it, it was really being spoken of as something that was used with autism. And they were beginning to talk about expanding it to use with trauma survivors. And I just kept saying, okay, I want to see how this works with trauma survivors. I want to see how this works. And I couldn't get it, what it was. And I remember in the embodied recovery training, I asked you about it because you had mentioned it. And you were talking about some of the really subtle changes that can happen and all the different ways that it can be used. And it just sort of opened up my mind about what this thing is, the Safe and Sound Protocol. And in a way, I was even just more confused. So I think that's one of the reasons why I'm so eager to we're going to talk about it on multiple episodes of this podcast to really help people who are therapists and people who might receive the Safe and Sound Protocol to get a more maybe nuanced understanding and maybe a broader understanding at the same time of what it is and what it can do and how it can be used. Because at this point, I think a lot of people have heard about it, but people have their own ideas about what it is and what it means. So something that you and I were talking about before we began recording is, like, right now in our culture, in our society, there's kind of this disembodied way of approaching health, wellness, healing, where, you know, it's like, do this exercise 10 times per week and you'll, you know, no longer have brain fog or something like that. I mean, there's just like all these hacks, right? And biohacks, and, you know, people are kind of like perfecting biohacks and almost like the human supercomputer type thing. And I feel that some people may lump SSP in with those types of things. First of all, what do you think about what I'm saying? Is that makes sense to you?
Yeah. You're very accurate and on par with what's happened, because it's a technology, right? It's a sound technology. And so we think, oh, I'll listen to 30 minutes of 432 hertz and that will help me to relax. And it is sold as something that supports relaxation, right? So in this journey of the SSP, and I think even the creator of it and those involved in production and dissemination, we've learned more and more about what it is. And in fact, you know, it is both complementary to an existing therapy, because it's providing the client with a experience, or training the nervous system to experience foundational experience of safety and regulation, so that whatever modality you're using can be more effective. But in the way that I use it and many somatic experiencing practitioners use it, it is the modality. So it's a both and. And so you're really tracking the evolution, I think, of the product and of the use of sound. And as we've learned more, then we can speak more nuanced about it and start to bring in more perspectives on what it does. So yes, in its earlier evolution, and I'm sure Dr. Porges, when he comes to speak about it, will talk about it as something that was originally designed for children with autism. But what we discovered in the somatic experiencing community was that it worked very similar to other ways that an SEP might work to elicit states of safety through what's called resourcing. So resourcing may be something that happens inside of you or outside of you, but when you connect to a resource, it invites in something different to move the body out of states of contraction into expansion. So we're still working with that same model that Peter Levine originally taught us of expansion and contraction. We're just using sound as the medium or portal for facilitating that. But if you understand the nuances of the SSP and what happens as a system and a body experiences more safety and moves into more parasympathetic state of rest and relaxation, from a trauma therapist perspective, or from the perspective of someone such as Stan Grof, who does holotropic breath work, in a state of deep relaxation, we can begin to allow the body and the subconscious to unwind. And in that unwinding, we may begin to see, experience, or traverse some of the material that's held out of consciousness, right? So it starts to become a possible method or medium by which we can engage in healing. And in my case, how we use it is not just evoking and inviting places where that may be out of conscious awareness to come back into awareness, but it tends to be the themes around relationality. Where was I met? when I was a child? Where did I experience connection? And what are the times where I didn't? And the body is very wise and the subconscious is very wise in terms of allowing that information to start to show up in ways that allow you to engage in the material or simply support the processing of it through spaciousness and holding and witnessing, right? Which is what all trauma therapy essentially, and good therapy, right? The spaciousness and the presence of the environment so you can be with whatever is emerging. So that's a more nuanced usage of the tool beyond anything I think that it was ideally created for in the first place.
And it's like, part of me is wondering, is it a use beyond what it was created for, or is it what it does that was making it work with what it was created for, or something like that? You know, it's like, it's, I think one of the things that's really cool about being able to sort of witness the unfolding of the understanding of what SSP does and the way that it was kind of concretely, it is for this. You know, let's say children who had challenges with language and being able to communicate social connection stuff, you know, that's like in a very small thumbnail of what I understand, you know, it was originally about, versus how we relate and connect with one another is an attachment development process, right? So,
yes, I think Dr. Porges would say, or how I began, the verbiage I began to use was it's working with the neurological platforms of the attachment and bonding system. So that keeps us, you know, within the scope of, it's a neurological exercise, right? And within that system, there's a lot of information, as you know, as a provider. And yeah, if you're trained to track that information and to understand it and to understand what defenses look like or sound like or feel like in the physiology, in a person's words, in terms of how they hold themselves somatically, then it's a mechanism that supports someone to come out of long-held defenses, to reorganize into a state of safety, what we would call exploratory orienting, and curiosity, and calmness, and regulation, and receptivity. And these are all words Dr. Porges would use. And that is not a state of defense. That is not a state of fear and disconnection. It's a state of connection and of openness and connectivity. So a very simple way to describe it is it's opening those pathways. And in that process of opening, you may hit a lot of material and information about why those pathways were closed in the first place.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm thinking about my first experience doing it. And I've experienced SSP twice in your groups. And, you know, some of the things when you said, like, where was I met and where, what are the times when I wasn't? And I remember, like, for myself, probably in the first one or two listening sessions, just these sort of, like, I would say, like, little things in a way, and I'm doing like this, like, you know, like little, like, memories, and I'm calling them little, but maybe not little. It's just things that didn't register as important and maybe weren't standing out in my conscious awareness before listening. But like, I can just remember these, a moment of like being with someone who I wanted to like me, who I didn't feel was receiving, you know, they didn't like me. I wanted them to like me. I like them. They didn't like me the way I wanted them to. Maybe they liked me a little bit or enough, but not really enough, not as much as I wanted. And that is something that I would never have really been able to tell someone before, like, oh, I have this missing need, you know, where I wanted that person to like me. It just sort of like floated by and that was it. And then, you know, my body did something and then I felt different. It's weird to talk about that like that, but I think that's one of the reasons why it's kind of hard. I don't think it's just me. I think it's kind of hard for people to really wrap their minds around what is happening and why would I do SSP? What would I expect? And for therapists to be like, well, who would I use it with and why would I and when would I and how would I know if it was helping or if it wasn't? So it's so mysterious in a way because it's so sort of unique to the person. But at the same time, there are themes and processes that everyone is going to go through.
Well, it's certainly a passive, more passive in some ways than a therapist is used to utilizing. And so that can be, you know, somewhat unbelievable, right? That I could put on something and it's going to do some of the work for me. And the part that's active is that the therapist's presence is the most important piece of the SSP. And that is also something that I'm hoping to correct in the field because when it is described as a tool to put on to support regulation, the therapist may think, well, I'll just sit back and do my notes or I'll give it to them and send it home. But it is actually a mechanism to facilitate and support the pathways of co-regulation. So doing it in co-regulation will amplify the experience in a way that is far beyond whether you would do it by yourself. In fact, people do it by themselves and say, I don't have anything that happened. Well, it's because you did it by yourself. So when you're in the presence of a provider who is not asking anything of your system, is simply there. And I use the metaphor of sitting next to the baby in the crib, but sitting at a distance that's just right. And you're waiting for that moment where, you know, the baby turns to connect. And depending on our attachment styles, that's going to look very different. And in fact, in my groups, we set it up where people lay down in bed, pillows around them, and kind of get into this container to turn inwards and to explore the attachment system at that depth to see what comes up. And because of neuroception, even if we're online, you can feel the person across from you, their presence, and you can feel the group container too. And you're making sense of that during the listening. And all of that is lubricating those pathways as well. And so whoever's sitting across, their system, their nervous system, and how it's organized and how receptive it is influences the profoundness of the product.
Yeah. So when you said that the person is sitting across from you who's not asking anything of you, I wanna clarify or inquire how you would explain the difference between, you know, someone who's doing their notes or someone who's sitting there not asking anything, trying to be a blank slate, or, you know, like what's the
nuances,
feel of it?
The nuances. So you've taken sensory motor psychotherapy.
Yeah.
So they are very specific about outlining what this means. And in somatic experiencing, it's a little more nuanced, but some of the premise is the provider's ability to see and believe that the person sitting across from them is already whole and there's nothing to fix. Okay. So when we move from fixing into doing and being with, it changes the energetics between the therapist and the client. And many people are trained to fix or to have the answers or that there's something you have to solve. So it does mean a paradigm shift, right? Being able to see the person and that they have everything inside of them that they need to heal. And in fact, they're already healed. They're already whole. That's number one and number two, sort of 1A and 1B. Then there's this, the provider's own nervous system and presence. And there's many words for this. In Thomas Hubble's work, he might call that attunement. right? Being somatically attuned. In Dan Siegel's work, he'll call it resonance. In Bonnie Bainbridge's work, we call it yielding. So it's the provider's ability to be an open and spacious presence and grounded presence, to allow the space itself between the client and the provider to begin to facilitate healing, trusting that the body knows exactly how to heal and the wisdom of the organism itself. Okay. Now, to do that, a provider has to look at their own beliefs about being good enough or fixing, or what if I don't know, or what does it mean to have the responsibility, right? What responsibility has been put on me? And the provider rather is encouraged in my programs to move into a space of neutrality and what I call heart-centeredness, right? It's equanimity within themselves. And so much of the work we do in my programs is helping the provider come to that equanimity, right? So that you can hold the space because you are settled in yourself and feel enough.
Yeah. Once attempts started rising, I realized it was time for a new bedspread. So I gave my old bedspread an upgrade with Quince. You might be familiar with clothing options available at Quince, but did you know they also have home items, including furniture, wall art, and much more? The best part? Everything with Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than what you'd find at similar brands. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I'm a pretty sensory sensitive person. I found a 100% organic hot bedspread that complements my bedroom design beautifully, and the weight and texture of the fabric is just right. I want to feel the weight of a blanket on me at night in the summer, but I don't want to be hot. Treat your home to a little summer glow up with Quince. Go to quince.com/chat for free shipping on your order and 365-day return. That's quince.com/chat to get free shipping and 365-day return. Quince.com/. Today's episode is sponsored by Psychotherapy Networker and PESI. If you're a therapist, be sure to check out the partner page, which is linked in the show notes, where you can get discounted trainings with previous Therapy Chat guests like Courtney Armstrong, Dr. Leslie Korn, Dr. Ariel Schwartz, Dr. Tammy Nelson, Dr. Janina Fisher, Rebecca Case, Dr. Peter Levine, Dr. Lindsay Gibson, Deb Dana, Lori Gottlieb, and many others. You'll find the link in the show notes to my partner page with PESI and Psychotherapy Networker, where you can find all these discounted training. If you need CEs, this is a great place to go. Have you ever had those days where everything just feels harder than usual? I've definitely had my fair share, and I totally get how frustrating it can be. Sometimes it's not just stress or lack of sleep. It could be hormones at play. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula that fine-tunes the hormonal system. We often think we need big lifestyle changes to feel better, but in reality, small habits like taking Hormone Harmony every day can have a huge impact on how we feel. Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code CHAT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CHAT for 15% off today. Therapy Notes is consistently transforming the way therapists manage their practices with continuous updates designed to save money and improve efficiency. Their latest game changer, Therapy Fuel, a powerful and fully integrated suite of AI tools that streamline documentation so you can focus more on your clients. With AI features that help by generating progress notes from summaries or transcriptions, creating contact notes directly from clients' secure messages, and automated summaries of client history forms, Therapy Notes users are already reporting hours of saved time and energy. Some other recent feature improvements include automated recurring client payments, electronic secondary insurance billing, and their constantly expanding library of outcome measures. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I know I don't want to be shaming toward anyone, because I know that, you know, this is kind of part of the development of a therapist, and not everyone who's delivering this is a therapist as well. But it's like, we don't know really what could be different within our own nervous system until we experience it. So like, and this is what I think a lot of people say about your groups and about SSP is my experience myself, things that I thought were just me, who I am and how I am. Like I've been saying to some people, I thought I was really just really nice, really agreeable. That's just me. I'm nice. I'm not as nice as I thought I was. And that's okay. It's actually good for me. It's good for me and the people in my life that I trust myself enough to say what I don't like and not just be agreeable to everything. And, you know, one of the things that I struggled with a lot was how hard it is to set boundaries. And people would say, just say this, or all you have to do is let them know that's not okay with you. And I'd be like, I want to, I can't like make myself say it because I don't want to hurt their feelings, or I don't want to be mean, or I don't want to lose, you know, what it really was. I didn't want to lose the relationship. And, you know, it's so hard to see what our defenses have hidden so well from us, you know, but it feels so different just to be like feeling okay with who you are and how you do things. Not that you don't consider others, but you're not going, oh, what if they feel this way about it? Or what if that, you know, and all these things that, you know, it kind of looks like anxiety sometimes, but not always. There's a lot of different ways it can be. So it's a gift to be able to develop and deepen into that presence and have a resonance that people feel safe around you. But it's not just like a given that for all of us who go into the helping professions, that's what we're bringing. You know, we might think that or want to think that, but
yes,
you know, there's a reason we went into this work.
Yes. And if we want to give another metaphor or a framework to hold what you've just said, which I think is one of the most important or valuable aspects of what the SSP and the potential of using that as a healing tool is, it cultivates more self-energy. And people know who are trained. I'm sure a lot of people on your podcast are trained in IFS. So with true self-energy, not just, because I think it can be watered down as well, when you're in a embodied self, we don't have to explain that we're in self-energy because we're just in it, right? And then our presence, our embodied presence emanates and is part of the container that holds a space, so that then invites others into that. And now we move a little into one of the things we'll talk about more in another podcast, but the idea of entrainment in sound healing, this word, which simply means to bring something that is not in resonance or harmony or coherence into coherence. And in this method of using the SSP, we're amplifying an understanding that the provider's resonance is also entraining or inviting this other nervous system into something different. So then your presence is one of the primary tools in the SSP therapy and works in tandem with the sound that's lubricating the neuropathways.
There's so much here. I mean, it really is. There's so much here. Can we talk a little bit about attachment cycle, the attachment needs that can be available through this process of experiencing? I don't know if attachment needs would have been the right thing to say there, but you know, the way that we can have a shift in our relationship to those parts of the developmental cycle that may have been interrupted.
Sure.
Somewhere along the way.
Yes. Well, we had thought about talking about this topic because you've taken embodied recovery. So I want to frame that this is coming from embodied recovery and Bonnie Bainbridge Cohen's work and Rachel's work. So a synopsis of it, this particular piece is with trauma, and trauma causes contraction in the body because something has been too much, too big, too overwhelming, right, for us to process. With attachment, there's been not enough, too late, or too little. So our attachment system or strategy then develops to compensate for what's not available in the environment. And we all do it. Nobody comes out without, you know, some aspect. And an attachment, you know, can be your biological family. It can be your groups and community. It can be your religious institutions. It can be your political systems, right? So it's very dynamic. And within this, there's certain movement patterns, which Bonnie Bainbridge refers to as the relational movements, that are, I think of them now as archetypes as well. They're archetypes. They're constructs that are available to everyone, and they have dynamics within them. And the dynamics tell us about our ability to soften into relationship and to feel safe and to yield. Okay, that's number one. Next is the dynamics tell us about our capacity. Once we feel safe enough and spacious and curious, we may reach, we may move out into the world to explore and move towards something. We're also designed, once we move towards something, to ingest, to experience, to grasp what we've reached for, and to take it in and to bring it into us. This has a lot to do with our relationship with intimacy. And from that digestion, we feel satisfaction and can rest again until another impulse arises. So we're breaking down the essence of the expansion and contraction cycle through attachment, through a relational template rather than a trauma template. And in embodied recovery, you know, we spoke about this in reference to food and people's relationship with food, and many people who work with clients who have food struggles, you know, come to understand what's underneath the struggles. But I like to take it into everything, right? Because those relational dynamics impact all aspects of our life. So with the SSP, if this program is lubricating the neural pathways that make attachment available, and we go back to these movements and we consider that they're part of our primitive reflexes in the first year of life that support our gross movement patterns, and we work with them during the listening, we are now coupling or bringing more support somatically with the same message that the music is providing. And so I don't use the movements to distract or to keep a person busy during the listening, which can be used. And that model is certainly appropriate. And many people are using the SSP in that way, okay, occupational therapists. I'm going to use it to bring embodied awareness to those movements while the listening is lubricating the system and sending the same message, and then my embodied presence on top of that. So there's many layers happening with the movements themselves, what that might look like. I do believe that the SSP is supporting our capacity to yield, to soften over and over and over again our defenses, so we can come into more alignment with who we really are. So the capacity to feel safe in the world is fundamental to even beginning to be curious about who we are, right? We can't be curious about who we are if we're in survival. So to support that and to, again, support the provider to turn inward, we set up the SSP with pillows, with blankets, with comfy things to give the body the same message that we are indeed safe, and that what's around us, outside of us, is a container that's willing to hold us. And so we're going to use somatics to support that message. Then we might put something in a person's hand during the listening. You might have done that with me in one of the groups, right? To activate the grasp reflex under the feet and under the hands, right? It's called the Palmer reflex or the Babinski. This reflex supports us in knowing that something's there that we can trust. And if you think about a baby, when little babies are little, you know, you put your finger there and what do they do?
Yeah. Right?
It's automatic. It's in our hardwiring. Okay.
And we all say, my baby's so strong. Look at this. We've got a really strong baby.
Yeah. Yeah. You can lift their whole weight. You can hold them up by that grasp. That's how strong it is. So psychologically, you know, that transfers into our experience of trust, really feeling like there's somebody and something outside of me that is there that I can count on. And so we are placing items in a person's hand while they're listening to, again, talk to the body and the nervous system and those psychological processes while the sound is also doing what it's doing.
Can I do a clarification there? Mm-hmm. We're not actually putting it in the person's hand. We're saying we're inviting the person to hold the thing in their hand, right?
Yes. It's an invitation. Well, if you're, you know, somatic therapist might say, well, let's do this and see what happens, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Are you up for that? And if you don't like it, put it down.
Yeah.
And sir, what I found curious, these are just different things that I've noticed. One is sometimes one hand wants something firm and the other hand wants something really hard and pokey or something that, you know, so this idea that we have different attachment dynamics on each side of the body and they need different things. You know, one might need a lot of presence. I need to know you're there, right? And I need it poking at me, right? Mm. Because I can't feel it. And the other might only need a tiny bit of presence. So it's a being with these dynamics. And if you, the client, can hold that perception of being with and witnessing to allow information to emerge. This supports the organicity of a system to begin to show you or give you more information about what that dynamic may be about. And that may come through just a tear with no emotion that comes out of one eye, or a wave of emotion with no story. Or the image of your house when you're 3 years old that just floats right by your mind. So in embodied recovery and the work you trained in, we weren't using the SSP. We were just using the movements themselves in a similar way that you might if you were engaging in sensory motor psychotherapy or somatic experiencing, because they're very evocative on their own. In my programs, we are coupling it with the sound and we're sending you on a journey, inviting you into a journey, I would say, into those early dynamics. So you can be with yourself. And then the provider's role is to support you in being with yourself, which is more of an IFS model.
So helpful to speak about these other methods too, to help people take what they do already know about or have heard about, have some familiarity and kind of go like, oh, okay. I see what's happening there. I feel like I really want people to be able to understand how powerful this can be. And also it's so mysterious. And the book is full of the science of why and how it works. And some things you also just have to like experience yourself to really get it.
Yeah. I definitely think with this particular intervention, it's not something, I mean, they've captured it brilliantly in the book, but even that is to experience it firsthand gives you the real embodied felt sense of what's being described in the book. So I am one of the notion that if you're using it as a tool, it's very beneficial to your benefit and your clients to go through the experience yourself.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I can't agree with you more. That's a perspective on training that, you know, to me, it's like there's two ways to look at training. Oh, I'm going to take in all this knowledge so I can go and deliver it to these people who need help versus I'm going to experience this for myself. And wow, with the benefits that I've gained from it, I'm going to take those and use them to help the people that I work with.
Yes.
Yeah. this has been so helpful. And I know we're going to talk more on your podcast about how you use this and our experience working with this together. But let's take a moment just for you to tell our listeners kind of what you're doing, what's out there. Because, you know, you've just rebranded your podcast. And before we wrap up, I want them to hear what they'll find if they go to your website and why they would want to.
Sure. Yes. I think that, again, I want to value every provider that's in the SSP book, right, and their approach and all the approaches that are out right now, right, all the avenues to turn inward, because honestly, we need them all. And I myself has traversed a lot of them. So it's not like one is better than the other. It's just if people are called to sound, I think that our community, my community, is a hub for providers that literally, I had somebody the other day say, I just woke up and I heard sound. You know, I need to go find out more about sound. So that's how they're showing up, whether that's the SSP or tuning forks or singing bowls, you know, it's happening. So
it's all about what resonates and what path takes you in. You know, it's not totally one being better than the other, but it's like finding the one that
resonates
you
for
where
you
are. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the world of psychoacoustics. So if you come to my website, you have choices of how to engage and explore your own world and support your clients through psychoacoustics. And that just means the science of sound. So my website is a blend, as you know, of the different modalities I'm trained in. So somatic experiencing, sensory motor, embodied recovery, and sound. I also have a leaning towards bringing in some of the wisdom traditions and teachings to tie in a reconnection with our roots and our deeper understanding of ourselves as humans at this time, because I do think we're in a larger evolutionary shift. And so part of my role is being a community to support that. I have different entry points for people. So if you're interested in the experience of the SSP, either for personal growth or professional mentoring, you can come into a 12-week model. I had condensed it down to 6 or 7, but honestly, the amount of transformation that happens for that short a period of time is a lot for people to digest. So I've extended it back out to 12 weeks because change takes time to integrate. And the depth of the change that we're engaging in this process is transformational. So for it to, you know, maintain that, we want it stretched out and provide the container. So providers can come to experience the tools themselves. They're also, I have an ebook that's attached so they can walk through some of the movements in different ways, whether that's through mantras or meditations or self-inquiry, videos. So I have different teaching methods that pull from many in the field who are doing similar things, because I have a way to speak depending on how you need things delivered to you. And so that's all part of the program if you come in to learn about the SSP with me or the new RRP. I also have, for those that are interested in more in-depth, a mentorship, which is 8 or 9 months. It's elongated. This is for providers who really feel called to sound or to spending almost a year in a transformative process. And that process takes you through the 3 trimesters in the womb in looking at your individual, ancestral, and collective imprints, and uses all different types of sound during that process. So it may be SSP, it may be tuning forks, it may be bilateral beats. And you've done some of that program. So I'd say it's a little bit more comprehensive for those that are interested in sound healing, modern sound healing, but understanding the roots behind it and the ancient wisdom. And then lastly, there's other new things emerging. Online community membership is coming up, and the podcast itself has changed. And that's a free resource where you'll hear people like Laura, who's going to come on out as my guest, and many of the therapists who are blending through their lens, right? Taking this and going through the program and then saying, okay, well, how do I want to deliver this, right? What's my approach. And so the podcast is highlighting those providers and bringing in, I hope at some point, maybe some folks who are part of the science behind it. I'll also have some teaching of my own because some people may not be able to come to my courses. So it will be a platform to hear some of the things that I do in my classes and the ways that I teach. So I'm hoping there's a little bit for everyone and that people can come in any of those entry points.
And so the name of the podcast is now?
Transformative what? Harmonics. Transformative Harmonics. Yeah.
Beautiful. When that's going, I'll be sure to link. So is it out now, the new version?
Yes. Okay. We just launched a week ago.
Beautiful. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. I'll be sure to put a link in this episode's show notes then. Well, Paula, you are such a wealth of information and we barely scratched the surface today, but thank you so much for sharing your time and a sliver of your wisdom with our listeners today. And what is your website so people can find it?
PaulaScatoloni.com.
Great. I'll link to that too. Yes. So thank you so much again for being here with me today.
Thank you. And thank you for your contribution. And I'm so excited to have you on my podcast soon. So I hope your listeners tune in to hear you and we create the space for that.
Thank you. I'll be sure to let them know about it. Therapy Notes is the highest rated EHR, practice management, and billing software for mental health professionals. Its all-in-one platform is designed to streamline all aspects of your practice, from connecting with clients via secure messages to scheduling, notes, billing, and more. You can trust Therapy Notes has you covered. And one of the best parts? 24/7 customer service with a live person. It's beyond easy to get help over the phone or by email at any time of day from their knowledgeable and friendly representatives. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.